So today in John's Gospel, we have this beautiful revelation from John the Baptist that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. But there's one line in here that's kind of interesting, and you might not notice it at first glance. I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel. That's kind of an interesting statement, that John the Baptist baptizes so that Jesus might be made known to Israel. And we know that John's baptism, it's not the same baptism that we receive as Christians. As Christians, our baptism, it cures original sin. It forgives any actual sin. So like the little two-week-old probably doesn't have to worry about that. But the people coming in at the Easter Vigil, you know, it's kind of that free pass deal for them, right? Not really. Don't take me up on that. But all sin is forgiven. They are made children of God. They enter into the church with that baptism. And so if that's the baptism we're talking about, it makes sense that that would reveal Christ to the world. But John's baptism is a different kind. It's a baptism of repentance. It's a symbol saying, I'm going to turn back to God. And that is exactly how it does what it does, though. That turning back to God is how John's baptism makes the Lord known. Because it's by our works. We learn this throughout St. Paul and St. James's letters in the New Testament especially. We learn that it's by our works that our faith becomes known. Because our faith is what motivates our works. Our faith is revealed by what we do in our daily life. In the second reading, St. Paul reminds us that Christians are called to be holy and to call on Christ's name. But in order to do that, we have to repent. We have to turn back to Jesus Christ and acknowledge him and recognize he is the one who will make us holy. And if we call on his name, he will assist us in doing that. Because to be holy, it simply means that we follow Christ as best we can. We obey his commandments, and we live every part of our life in a way pleasing to God, because nothing is hidden from him. There's no such thing as a private sin that nobody sees. Because even if it's at our home when nobody's there, God knows about it. Or perhaps we have this idea that our work life and our personal life should be separate, but that's not the case either. Every single one of our actions must be motivated by our faith. And whether civil society likes it or not, we have to live our lives chastely. We have to seek peace with one another. We have to love God above all things and love our neighbor as ourself. And so there's no room for lies and theft and murder and abortion and sexual immorality and perversion and wickedness and greed. None of these things belong in the life of a Christian. And it doesn't matter what they do. You know, this parish is a fascinating place. We have doctors and lawyers and pilots and waiters and cooks and teachers and all sorts of people here. All of us, no matter what we do, are called to let our faith motivate our works. And living our faith is very hard. But Christ, you know, following Christ, it doesn't mean we're merely his servants. In the first reading, we hear that that's not good enough. To be his servant is not good enough. We are called to be holy because we are his children, and we're meant to be lights to all of the world. The holiness of our lives should stand out to everybody and be this great shining beacon that shows everyone, this is the way to happiness. If you want to have joy forever, this is how you can live. We are God's children, and we're called to be light to all the world. This means we have to live holy lives, and holy lives are hard. But okay, we have a mission, though. We have this great mission to join Jesus Christ in bringing salvation to all the world. And we shouldn't shrink away from that, because it's a wonderful gift to know what we're supposed to be doing.